So I'll just do the introductions. Adam is alone up there, and actually we didn't know who was doing introductions. But so Luisa Futuranski, she's from Buenos Aires. She's lived in Paris since 1981. She's published, I don't know how many books of poetry, but something like 25. I don't know what the number is. What's that?
I don't know.
Okay, there you go. I forget how many novels, 4 or 5 novels, and at least 3 books, nonfiction books that are, there's one on hair, there's one on honeymoons, and I think there's another one. Is there another one? Oh, okay, anyway, and a number of these have been, especially since she lives in Paris, since 81, a number of them have been translated to French. The only book in English at this point is the one I did in 97, which is selected poems from up to that point, that Mark here in the second row published. And there's going to be another book that an English woman named Philippa Page translated that's coming out next year. And what else? Luisa's been all over the place. She left Argentina roughly in... the late 70s. Well, I don't know, late 60s was, she's did a lot of Latin American traveling, and then through the 70s she lived in, I don't remember the exact order, I think Rome, Tel Aviv, and then eventually Japan for about 5 years, and Beijing for 2 years roughly, working for the Spanish language Bureau of what, the press? But press stuff. And so then she's been in Paris since 81. And she's going to read poems mostly from this book, and I'll read the translations. And I think we'll leave it at that.
I am very surprised to be here. And I, of course, I say he's my angel guardian. Guardian. That's Jason, and I have another angel, that's Rini. And I am so happy to be here, you can't imagine. Then I want to say that poetry essentially is anachronic. Why I say that? Because the poem I choose to start is such an old poem. I wrote it when I was, I think, 25. And for me it was exile, that was a big part of my life, going from Buenos Aires till Cordoba. That means from Buenos Aires more or less till New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And for me it was such incredible distance. And I say it's anachronic because I could write it today. The poem is called Vitro de Exilio. Toda la eficacia de los nombres que trabajosamente la imaginería construyó para fascinarte, se derrumban silenciosos. Un rico cementerio de cenizas, eso es hoy tu geografía. Aprendiste a costa de tu juventud y gran parte de tu inocencia que estar solo en un despojado suburbio de las Pampas o en la fastuosa Samarcanda, tiene la misma dimensión de olvido y de tragedia. Que el viento nunca tuvo piedad para esparcir las piedras y los muertos, que solo los turistas de solemnidad se fotografían ante las piedras de colores. Porque decir país es musitar apenas 4 letras, y tras ellas la densidad de secretas combinaciones, lápidas de extraños que llevan nuestro nombre y pálidas fotos que conservan el eco de tu paso hacia el amor o la desesperanza. Es también la memoria de trabajos fatigosos o quizá alguna vieja melodía que retiene los primeros riesgos de tu juventud. Un país es tu nombre y la ácida violencia con que acude una palabra a tu indefensa boca de viajero. es un mapa con un río cuya desembocadura y nacimiento se unen curiosamente en el punto exacto de la tierra que desea abonar tu osario. Son amaneceres, insomnios, saludos, cólera, un brazo, un hombro, diminutivos, insultos, despedidas, jardines, encuentros, temblores, promesas, otoños, rieles, desafíos, sustantivos absolutos que no admiten otra explicación a su peso de fantasmas, estos y no otros.
So it's called Vitro of Exile. Just a note, Vitro is, she uses a French word, which means stained glass windows. But she uses, so it's a foreign word in the Spanish, so it's a foreign word in the English. Vitro of Exile. All the efficacy of the names, which the imagery laboriously built up to fascinate you, falls silent. A rich cemetery of ashes that now is your geography. You learned at the cost of your youth and most of your innocence that to be alone in a forsaken suburb of the Pampas or in splendid Samarkand holds the same dimension of oblivion or tragedy. That the wind never took pity scattering stones in the dead, that only the doomed tourists take each other's photos showing off their glass beads. Because to say country is to whisper barely seven letters, and through them the density of secret combinations. Gravestones of strangers bearing our name, and pale photos that preserve the echo of your passage toward love or despair. It's also the memory of tiring labors, or maybe some old tune that retains the first risks of your youth. A country is your name, and the acid violence with which a word comes to your defenseless traveler's mouth. It's a map with a river whose source and outlet curiously unite at the exact spot on earth that your bones wish to fertilize. It's daybreaks, insomnias, salutations, anger, an arm, a shoulder, diminutives, insults, farewells, gardens, meetings, tremors, promises, autumns, rails, challenges, absolute nouns that allow no other explanation for its weight in ghosts. These and not others.
The other day in the American Society, I read a poem who tiene que ver about aging.
It has to do with aging.
Yes, yes. And I discovered that was a subject that is also in my other books. Then we're talking about wrinkles, arrugas. La piel de las manos concibe enrevesados ideogramas que descifro con paciencia. Desmañada, brillante, loca de exaltación o de soberbia, o avasallada de dolor hasta el espanto, soy la que soy. I discovered una falta, ¿cómo se dice? Una copilla.
You want a mistake?
Yeah. Avasallada en vez de dolor de dolar.
Ah, yeah, that's right. We have another one in there, but that's in a poem you're not reading.
Don't <That's>, tell her.
Yeah, right, yeah. Then I am suffering. Not from dollar.
It's all this country, sure.
But I did translate it as dolor. I didn't translate it as dollar.
Yeah,
so
I knew that. He knows me better than me.
So wrinkles. The skin on my hands conceives intricate ideograms that I decipher patiently. Clumsy, shining, wildly exalted and proud, or overwhelmed by terrifying pain, I am what I am.
Un poco pretencioso. Everything with pretension, say that, but anyway. Insomnio en la Rue de Charenton. I used to live there. People who knew Paris knows that it's in Bastille, in a very, very long street where I live, I think, for 20 years. Insomnio en la Rue de Charenton. Los ruidos amigos que me tienden habitantes desconocidos. El repartidor de diarios a las 3:35. El repartidor de lácteos a las 4:15. El repartidor de pan a las 5:40. La vecina que orina, el amante que parte, los cirujas que revisan los tachos de basura. Oh, parila, Luis.
So, insomnia on the Rue de Charenton. The friendly noises the unknown inhabitants offer me. The newspaper delivery man at 3:35, the milkman at 4:15, the bread man at 5:40, the woman next door urinating, the lover setting out, the scavengers going through the trash bins. Mm-hmm. Oh, Paris la nuit.
Continue with the aging story. I think tomo, ¿cómo puedo decir? Me animo con temas que no son comunes, que son riesgo en la poesía.
Yeah, she likes themes that are not such common ones that she thinks are maybe a little bit more risky.
Por ejemplo, este poema que les voy a leer es Dentadura, which is such a
story. Oh, you're gonna be, okay. Right, so... Right, anyway.
A.T.
Right.
In this poem, we have slightly, precisely... I like, you know, like onions to peel my poetry. You need to many layers. Yeah. And in this one is a reference that perhaps my friend Alberto will know, is to a dictator before the big dictatorship in my country, that we call it que tenía cara de morsa. I don't know.
What Morsa would be, but
Morsa is a kind
Morsa.
Of Morsa.
Oh, Morsa.
Yeah, Morsa. Well, it's a kind of animal, and Onganía.
Oh, like is that like a walrus?
Oh, yeah. Onganía tenía cara de Morsa, and was a dictator. And in the lines of this poem, it's a reference to that. Okay. Going with the Faustus, okay? Ready for the Faustus. Dentadura. Batallas sangrientas perdidas de antemano por cada una de mis muelas y mis dientes. Un mapa con banderilleo de privaciones y cercenamiento cuyas trazas se pierden en las mismas reiteradas escaleras que conducen a idénticos tronos de aprensión, oprobio y pánico. Carradas de nombres, moldes de yeso vaciados de significado como maxilares, caninos, molares. Para quedar con una sola referencia elemental. Los de adelante, los de atrás, los de arriba, los de abajo. Como los primeros pasos de Buda desnudo en el mundo hostil. Incisivos de vampiro, de morsa, roedores, caricaturas, puertas primeras que revelan a los hombres de poder. Romper, no romper, rechinar los dientes. ¡Oh, mis dentistas! Con sus pinzas, gasas, jeringas, puentes, coronas. Falsas anestesias del mundo entero. Manos singulares que me arrancaron una a una las raíces del juicio y cada tanto, a falta de tantas cosas, me prescriben tabletas que adormecen bacterias sin sosiego, encías, residuos, sueños, refulgente, la sonrisa Colinos o Colgate brilla desde nunca, por su permanente desguarnecida ausencia.
So, teeth. Let's call it teeth. Bloody battles lost in advance by each of my molars and teeth. A map with banderillas of privations and trimmings whose traces are lost on the same repeated stairways that lead to identical thrones of apprehension, ignominy, and panic. Heaps of names, plaster casts, emptied of meaning, like maxillaries, canines, molars, to be left with a single basic reference, front, back, upper, lower, like the first steps of Buddha, naked in the hostile world. Incisors of a vampire, a walrus, that's a morsa, a walrus, rodents, caricatures, first gateways revealing power to mankind. Breaking, not breaking, gnashing the teeth. Oh, my dentists with their forceps, gauzes, syringes, bridges, crowns, false anesthesias from the world over. Singular hands that yanked out the roots of my wisdom one by one. And every so often, for lack of so many things, prescribed tablets that put bacteria to sleep but offer no relief. Gums, residues, dreams. Dazzling, the Colgate or Colino's smile shines as it never has in its permanent, unadorned absence.
I will read two poems more, one from my next book, and it's about Rome. Rome and the Pope. We have, you know, Argentinian Pope. But this was before. it's called Jubileo Romano. Ocre, rosa, naranja, enigmas, sabores romanos que el cuerpo revisita, deleitándose en jirones de antiguos sobresaltos y repentinas languideces. Sin violencia, el sol te acompaña a la jornada y por la noche discutimos la transparencia en la poesía de Mario Luzi o la intensidad minuciosa del dolor en Humberto Saba. Los voluntarios del jubileo suben y jadean escalinatas con chalecos de fuerza azul índigo y ribetes amarillos de justa deportiva, de espaldas a cuanto corre o se estanca en el légamo del Tíber. Gladiadores de cartón piedra, nuevos restaurantes de incierta sonrisa y calidad y tanto bonacera. Roma, la sardónica, tan fiel en amistad. Mariposas amarillo acidulado, diminutas, otras más negro que siena, tiesas, grandes, muy recamadas, pero siempre cabrán en la palma que jamás osará cazarlas, que no es tarea de buena gente andar cortando alas. Van y vienen entre campanillas azul intenso, con grutas al fondo, por donde nace infancia, con gotas nuevas de rocío todavía, irse de aquí con el cuerpo fechado, en un buen trabajo de hechicero pernambucano, que me haga impune a los dolores, pero no invisible. Ni tampoco piedra. Alma de mi alma, dame la mano, que más allá del Tíber no respondo. Dame tregua de una vez.
So it's called Roman Jubilee. Ochre, rose, orange, riddles, Roman flavors that the body rediscovers, taking delight in the remnants of ancient upheavals and sudden languor. Without violence, the sun accompanies your day, and in the evening we discuss transparency in the poetry of Mario Luzi or the meticulous intensity of pain in Umberto Saba. Volunteers of the Jubilee puff and pant their way up staircases in indigo straitjackets, trimmed like sportswear with yellow ribbon, their backs turned to where life flows or stagnates in the Tiber's silt. Papier-mâché gladiators, new restaurants of an uncertain smile and quality, and so much buona sera, sardonic Rome, so loyal in friendship. Tiny, acidic yellow butterflies, others blacker than sienna, stiff, large, very embroidered, but that always fit inside the palm, that will never dare hunt them. It's not the task of good people to go around clipping wings. They come and go between the bluebells, caves in the background, where childhood is reborn, still covered with drops of fresh morning dew. To leave here with corpo fechado from a good spell cast by a Pernambucan shaman, may it render me immune against the pains, although not invisible or made of stone. Soul of my soul, lend me your hand, for beyond the Tiber I do not respond. Grant me a truce once and for all.
I will finish this time who Jason offered me, because it's a very old book, then I will allow myself to read the love poem. Ella la pescadora. Hay tardes en que quisiera ser una mujer portuguesa, de un negro redomado de pelo a uña de los pies, con la sola ocupación de esperar las mareas que traen y llevan a mi hombre las algas y los peces. En cambio, en el reparto de afanes me tocó creer que descifro las oscilaciones pendulares de mi alma, de la tuya y las de nuestra parentela de fantasmas. Oh, las lentejuelas agónicas de los peces en las redes, y yo silabeando tu rostro con mi desbrujulada roseta de champollion, palmo a palmo, vicisitudes de días, noches, vigilias, pieles y sudores de los que soy extranjera sin remedio. No estuve tanto tiempo en ninguno de tus sueños, y ahora te trae la marea, mi corriente, mi delta, voz, amanecido de troncos, espuma, pez araña, serpientes, monstruos marinos, redes, astrolabios, aparecidos, que los del mar son los verdaderos, vocales dolorosas, tarantulados. Tradúceme, tradúceme, que remo contra corriente y me fatigo, mi sombra se fatiga, pide tregua, levanta jalón blanco, porque aunque se pegue a tu sombra, son dos sombras. Entonces contame un cuento. Las viñas suelen plantarse entre piedras porque recogen el calor del día y a la noche se lo devuelven a las viñas. Y tomaste mi mano para detenerla sobre un muro tibio de Lisboa. A lo mejor habías comprendido que era mi tarde de ser pescadora portuguesa y no querer tener otra idea en la cabeza que el latido de la línea de horizonte, la arena entre los pies, y basta.
So that's She the Fisherwoman. There are evenings when I'd like to be a Portuguese woman, utterly in black from head to toe, whose sole occupation is waiting for the tides that carry out and bring back my man, seaweed and fish. But in the division of labors, it was my turn to think, to decipher the pendular swings of my soul, of yours, and those of our ghostly relations. Oh, the dying spangles of the fish in the nets, and I articulating the syllables of your face with my mapless Rosetta Stone, inch by inch, vicissitudes of days, nights, vigils. Skins and sweats where I will always be a stranger. For so long I was absent from your dreams. And now the tide carries you to my current, my delta, you awash with tree trunks, foam, spiderfish, serpents, sea monsters, nets, astrolabes, phantoms. Perhaps those at sea are the true ones. Pitiful sounds, tarantulated, translate to me, because I'm rowing against the current and I'm getting tired. My shadow grows tired, asks for a truce, lifts a white flag, because although it sticks to your shadow, they are two shadows. So tell me a story. The vines are usually planted among rocks because they gather the heat of the day and at night give it back to the vines. And you took my hand to hold over a warm wall in Lisbon. Maybe you had understood that it was my evening to be a Portuguese fisherwoman and to want no other thought than the beat of the horizon line, the sand between our feet, and enough. We got a continuity there with a fisherwoman and now a swimming pool. So you already figured that one out? Yeah. Just occurred to me now. Okay. Sometimes we think we're so smart.